with our conversation about doing unto otters and others, and I want to spend some time talking about respect. I will not sing the song, although I'm really tempted to, because that's such a... I am not Aretha Franklin, however, and so we have to know our limits, right? Sometimes we're surprised by our limits. I am mindful of how sort of disconnected I am from my body sometimes. You know, I have spent a lot of my life as a person who really kind of valued thinking over a lot of other things. This is part of my upbringing, and it, you know, I was not always thinking about the rest of my body, and continued to be in those ways. Now, my daughter, my youngest daughter, is a basketball player, and I've told you about her. She is just naturally athletic. She knows how to move her body and kind of like position herself in the right places. She played her first organized sport was soccer. She played on the Chipmunks team in preschool, and they had to pull out the slaughter rule on her because she was just running by all the other kids. She was just naturally inclined with that. That's not me, okay? A couple years ago, I had a heart attack, and it was a stark reminder of, hey, there's other stuff going on here. This is not a disconnected package. Your body is not a hat rack or a clothes rack, as it were, you know, not just something to carry the head around. Not that I'm super intellectual or anything like that, but I just had to come to an understanding that what happens here impacts everything. What happens throughout my body impacts everything. So when we hear this passage of Scripture, thank you so much for beautifully reading that. When we hear this passage of Scripture, it is, you know, kind of the church's way, Paul's way of kind of saying, we deal with a really complex, interconnected system that you are part of something that's big. And actually, the part that is you is big. Now, I'm reminded by my middle daughter, who's a nursing major, that we have 206 bones in our body. 206 bones and 639 muscles and about 6 pounds of skin. Sorry, that's a little gross, but, you know, think about that. Along with all the ligaments and cartilage and veins and arteries and blood and fat and all that kind of mixture together, all of it interdependent upon each other. If you have something that gets sick or broken, the whole system is responsive to it. Each one of us is made up of about 30 trillion cells. Can you imagine that? I should have written it out and put it on the screen. 30 trillion cells make up just us. And cells are these wonderful kind of individual little machines that sort of constantly working in their specialty or in general ways just to kind of keep us moving, to keep blood flowing through your body, to keep the systems burning the energy that they need for you to sit here and be bored. And not only that, so there's like 30 trillion of our own cells. And in here, in your body, there's more than 30 trillion viruses and bacteria and other kind of like masses that are just kind of they're along for the ride, right? They're just like feeding off of us. No, those things are vitally important to the rest of the system functioning. The whole idea of a microbiome, the ability for the bacteria in our gut to make a huge difference, is something that we just really kind of blew off until a few years ago and realized that it makes a difference in their mood. It makes a difference in their ability to kind of live their life. All those little guys in there. This is why every day I have a little chewy thing that I take because, well, first of all, I like little chewy things. Give me a gummy and I'm a happy boy. But also, it's filled with prebiotics and probiotics that kind of help. And you know what? I can tell a difference. I'm not trying to sell you on anything, but I'm just wanting you to know that there is all of this. Some of it's very clearly connected, but some of it also seemingly disconnected. What's that bacteria have to do with me? Ooh, get rid of it. What's that virus have to me? Ooh, get rid of it. But actually, that's very vital for us to function. Isn't it beautiful how the Lord kind of put us together that way? Isn't it beautiful how God kind of like, you know, made the heavens, made the earth, made the body in this delicate, intricate way that keeps us all together. And it makes total sense for Paul, for the church, to kind of look at this whole idea of Christ, the Lord himself having a physical manifestation right here. That you and I get to be part of the very physical presence of the body of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That you carry within you, you carry in your person the very nature of God's Spirit, the very image of God, and the very presence of God and ministry into this world. You do that. Now, the scripture is going to say there are specialties, of course. Some of you are good at this. Some of you are good at that. Some of you are preachers. Some of you are teachers. Some of you are really good at stewardship, of understanding how administrative things have to work. That all of us are created uniquely, but and diversely, and also all those parts fit together. Take a look at your neighbor. Now, husbands and wives are looking at each other, and partners are looking at each other. Look around even further, okay? And to whatever person you want to say this to, tell them, I need you. Oh, you're being shy. Come on now. Tell them. I need you. I am interconnected with you. We are dependent upon each other. And, you know, for sure, as a church, we are interconnected with each other. And not just in our giving. Giving is so important. Cannot minimize that in any way. But also in our service. Also in the witness of just kind of showing up and looking and living to be as faithful as I possibly can to Jesus. That makes a difference. I mean, people are looking, you know, little kids are looking at grown-ups. Teenagers are looking at each other. And grown-ups that they can trust, who seem that they have, you know, they have a care for them. People in this room can oftentimes say, I am here partly because, and they would name a person or a series of people. And sometimes they're related to us, and sometimes they're not. They were just at the door saying, I'm so glad you're here. Welcome. This is a place for you. And some of you are here because of outstanding preaching. Hands? No. But, of course, there is division that occurs inside of this. I mean, as much as this is a metaphor that is really powerful, it is also one that's hard to look at because sometimes there's cancer. Or sometimes there is part of the body that kind of rebels against the other part of the body. Something within the immune system goes, no, I don't like you anymore. I don't want you around. Autoimmune disease, right? Sometimes, of course, cancer is the work of cells going, I forgot what I was supposed to do, and I want to be fed. Or sometimes, we bump into things, or bump hard into things, or we get bit, right? And then the whole system has to make sense of it. We have within this idea of the body of Christ also division that occurs because of different sets of understandings and beliefs about things. Now, I am a United Methodist. I will continue to be a United Methodist until I die. And I understand that the United Methodist section in heaven is really nice. But I actually grew up in the Baptist church. And so I tell people that I'm a recovering Baptist, right? I'm in recovery. And I, of course, am joking about that. But I know that there have been classic disputes between Baptist and Methodist, just those two groups alone. Howard Thurman, who is a Baptist pastor of some note, had a remarkable upbringing where in his town in South Carolina, I believe, there were Baptist folks and Methodist folks of different color, and they would get in fights with each other all the time, right? So they would be divided along color lines, but they would also be divided along the lines of how you get baptized. Were you sprinkled or were you dunked? All right, and I'm not making this up. There were fist fights in the streets over that issue alone. Do you sing this hymn? Oh no, we would never sing that hymn to the loving God, right? But we sing this one. Oh no, how could you dare? You know, one of the things I love about our hymnal is that right now it's a big mix of everything. So there's Catholic hymns and Baptist hymns and, you know, Methodist things inside of there. I love it when, I spend time with Catholic friends in different kind of like context, and I will say, well, I'm a Methodist, and they would say, oh, we love your music. We think we've got the theology figured out, but your music is so good. No, they don't say that. They do say that about the music, though. This is the stuff of so many jokes. A rabbi, a priest, and a Baptist minister walk into a bar. All right, I don't even have to kind of keep going, because you know enough of those jokes that you could tell your own. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, no, don't do that. But you know what I mean. There was a rally. Adam Hamilton tells a story about a rally that happened at his church. And during that, someone said something about what in the world is going on when a Pentecostal, a Southern Baptist, and a Methodist are, what are they doing together? How come they're on the same stage? How could they do that? And they certainly would acknowledge that they disagree on a number of things, but in that moment, they chose to agree upon what makes them friends and brothers in Christ. Together, those three just recognized we have more in common than we do apart. He writes, I think that's how God looks at churches. The Pentecostal passion, the sacramental devotion of the Catholics, the emphasis on memorizing Scripture and winning souls of the Baptist, the passion around faith and good works in the Methodist. We could go on and on and on in lots of different ways, but I think that God says, I love them, and these are my children. They're siblings to each other, and they need each other. They're my children, parts of my body. And even we can take this and expand it beyond the idea of Christian churches. On September 11th, 2001, I learned about the horrible things that were happening in our country. And acts of, in some ways, religious passion, nightmares. But that morning, as I was coming into the place that I discovered all those things, I had spent the morning at a prayer breakfast for children. As people were acting out in that religious passion, there was an imam and a priest and a rabbi, and I think a Baptist, standing on the same stage, praying for the children, the poor children, the children whose families were struggling in the city of Atlanta. And from that day came an amazing movement, the children's movement there in Atlanta, from people gathering together and saying, "We believe in you, God. Help us do this right." So even across our differences, even across those things that we would look at each other and go, "I don't agree with you. I think you got it wrong," we still need each other. We're still interconnected with each other. That's a fundamental reality. There's nothing you can change. There's nothing you can change about it. You can hide from it. You can kind of like go, "Oh, well, but Bert, you got to understand that they do this, or they think that, or did you hear, or did you know?" And you know, half of that might be true. Still, we need each other. I spent a good deal of my time inside of churches that and working with colleagues who are working with churches that were at war with each other. That would sit, you know, those people on this side, they would not sit with those people on that side. And I mean, literally, you could see it. You could watch people avoid each other. It's kind of like living in a home where divorce was happening all the time. And the most fundamental thing that we had to always kind of come back to understand is we need each other. We cannot say, "You're not of value, get out." The hand cannot look at the foot and say, "I'm up here, you're down there, I'm so much better than you, I don't need you." The heart is needed by everything, right? Otherwise, what do you have? You've got like a 6-foot eyeball. Can you imagine a 6-foot eyeball? I'm 6'1", just a big eyeball right here, looking around. Can't move anywhere, can't go anywhere, cannot walk, cannot hum, cannot sing, cannot say anything, just taking it all in, and really not taking it very far because there's no brain behind it, right? Oh, but we've got an eyeball. We're the good eyeball. Look at our cool eyeball. Really. So a reality here is that we are interconnected and we need each other. And we're going to disagree, and we're going to have different functions, and some of those things are going to be opposed from each other, right? Sometimes the stomach says, "Feed me," but the brain says, "Not yet, because have you seen what's on that plate?" Sometimes the body will say, "I need rest," and another part will say, "But you're driving, don't go to sleep." So part of the way to deal with this is to treat each of those parts with respect. Not to say, I completely understand you, not to say, I completely agree with you, not to say, I actually have a pretty significant disagreement. Don't cast all that. But start in an understanding, like we have been talking about for these last few weeks, that you and I have the same place to be. We have just as much right to be in this body together, working together. And I might not agree with you, but I'm going to respect you. I might not hold the same kind of inclinations about these things, and we might disagree, but I'm going to treat you as a valued part of the body of Christ. So what that you're a 6-foot eyeball? Maybe my feet can help move you along. Maybe the elbows, which are wonderfully bendy. Can you imagine what that would be like without the elbows, without the joints there? Have you ever thought of life without the opposable thumb, right? My dog dreams of having a thumb. Oh, I want one of those. Just one final thought. That verse 26 says, and when everything, when one part is broken, the other parts suffer. That it's all broken. It's all dysfunctioning. Let me read it properly for you. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part gets glory, all the parts celebrate with it. If we are going to be healthy as parts, then we need to work for the health. We need to work for the good of the rest of the body, even though it might not seem to directly impact our part. For our life to be whole, for our hearts to be whole, we need to take care of all those parts. We need to consider the health of those things that seem to be beyond us, so that their functioning, which is intertwined with ours, doesn't bring us down, and we all move forward together. I heard a really wise person say, if you don't like thinking and talking about your health, that's okay. You'll have plenty of time to think and talk about your sickness, even your demise. So the invitation parts. The invitation, my brothers and sisters, is to stand in respect, to listen to Aretha, and turn around and give what is due to you as well. And I invite you to this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.